February 28, 2015. Boy, this month has gone by rapidly. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm coming to you from the very cold Chicago suburbs. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. Please visit spingola.com, where you will find some very relevant links for today's program. Just visit my website and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit a new website, screeningsandyhook.com, for information about my new book, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences, that is now available as a paperback, hardback, and as a Kindle. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.net. Now, this is a new website. It is managed and created by the same wonderful gentleman that created the other one, SpingolaSpeaks.wordpress.com. But now it is just SpingolaSpeaks.net. And I am so grateful for his work. He is just a fabulous talent. He just has all kinds of, he adds pictures and images. He's just, he's just a great guy and does such a wonderful job, and I am just so grateful for his efforts in my behalf. Please visit the chat room. If you have questions or comments, you can ask them in the chat room. And, of course, you can also email any relevant questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. And you can call into the program in the third hour at 800-313-9443. My Twitter account is Deanna Spingola, twitter.com/Deanna Spingola. A week or so ago, I was talking about Miley Cyrus, and a longtime listener emailed me the following message, which I thought was very appropriate, and certainly I wanted to share that with you. And this is from Joe, and he said, "Miley Cyrus is an obvious bait and switch. We can be sure that she was groomed from the beginning of her career to be what we see now, the Hannah Montana character on the unoffensive Disney Channel gave the illusion of an acceptable show for young girls. As Hannah and her fans grew older together, it was easy to sway them toward accepting Miley's behavior, which, and this isn't part of his email, but which was shocking to me. Of course, I wasn't familiar with Hannah Montana, but just, you know, knew about her and that she was supposed to be this nice little role model. Anyway, back to Joe's email. He said, "As Hannah and her fans grew older together, it was easy to sway them toward accepting Miley's behavior. It was done with TV. Early shows that were unoffensive and entertaining, like Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best, gave the goyim the illusion that the electronic synagogue was safe to have in the living room. Then we were hit with Archie Bunker, evolving into the garbage we have now," unquote. And that's from Joe, and I just thought that I would share that with you. Someone that I fondly refer to as Uncle Rainer said this week, and he sent me some images in an email from a newspaper in Germany, and he is just the sweetest man. Sometimes we get in kind of a little argument, or I don't agree with him and he doesn't agree with what I'm doing, but he is a wise person, and I have learned to really trust his instincts and what he tells me. Anyway, he said, "I was amazed that the most left-wing Zionist and pro-German government newspaper is reporting about the post-World War II rapes of German women after the war by Russian, American, British, and French soldiers," which gave me the idea that I would talk about this as I explained it in my third book, which is the Ruling Elite series. And the name of that third book is, what is it? The Ruling Elite, The Ruling Elite, it's number three in the trilogy. It is The Ruling Elite, Death, Destruction, and Domination. And that is literally what we have. We've had a lot of death and destruction, and Germany. Germany suffered heavily under this destruction. I mean, the Allies just bombed Germany back to the Stone Age. I'm just amazed that this magnificent group of people could rebuild their country to what it is now. It is just amazing to me. Anyway, so I thought that I would share some of the information from my third book. And the name of the chapter that I'm going to share is Women Prize Plunder for the Allies. And this is a very difficult subject, especially for a woman. Well, it's a difficult subject for anybody to talk about. And Thomas Goodrich has talked about it extensively in his book. And I don't think that we can talk about it too much. I think that people need to know about what happened. And I'm glad that a newspaper in Germany is finally addressing this. Anyway, in ancient pagan wars, the victors employed a might makes right mentality. The victors killed the men, raped the women, and frequently raped and enslaved the enemy's children. The opponent's women were the primary warfare plunder. It was simply implicit that the vanquished had no rights and the victorious were not obligated to deal justly, even with the most vulnerable, the women and children. The ancients were amoral pagans. I don't know. I think that sometimes I think pagans might be misused in that regard. But anyway, continuing on. Times and circumstances have not changed one iota and may have even increased despite the religiosity and sanctimonious attitude of certain countries, including and especially the United States. Large-scale wartime rape occurred in both world wars. In 1915, to create moral outrage, the Allies accused German soldiers of raping Belgian women, creating the idea that sexual conquest accompanied military conquest. And of course, this also occurred in the Civil War. So this was not the first time in World War I that it occurred, and certainly it has been a part of warfare for a very long time. There was a sign, a graffiti, in Berlin in March 1945, and it said, and I quote, "Enjoy the war, the peace is going to be terrible," unquote. Ilya Ehrenberg said, and he was the propaganda minister for the Soviets, and he said, and I quote, "The Red Army is burning to light the capital of the Germans as a fire signal of revenge. To Berlin, these words raise the dead. These words mean life. Soldiers of the Red Army, the hour of revenge has come." I'm not sure about our break schedule. I thought we were supposed to have a break. What about? Am I goofing up here? Maybe not. Okay. We've changed our break schedule a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, so I thought we were going to a break at about 3:05, and I see that we haven't done that. Anyway, Ehrenberg also said, and I quote, "The Germans are not human beings. From now on, the word German is for us the worst imaginable curse. From now on, German strikes us to the quick. We shall not get excited. We shall kill. If you have not killed at least one German a day, you have wasted that day. If you cannot kill your German with a bullet, kill him with your bayonet. If there is calm on your part of the front, or if you are awaiting for the fighting, kill a German in the meantime. If you kill one German, kill another. For us, there is nothing more joyful than a heap of German corpses. Unquote. Ehrenberg, in the Red Army newspaper, Krasnaya, that's K-R-A-S-N-A-Y-A, Zevda, and other propagandists pointed the more uneducated Russian troops against the Germans by exposing them to dozens of pictures of unnamed Russian POWs of the Majdanek concentration camp in the Polish city of Lublin. When the Soviets invaded Germany, they raped the allegedly superior German women initially as an act of vengeance. I happen to believe that probably the German women were very superior. Anyway. Some Soviet soldiers committed horrendous atrocities against German women. In addition to violent vengeance, they felt they had a prerogative to sexually use and abuse the females of every age in the countries that they had invaded and subdued. During the Soviets' occupation, they raped approximately 2 million women and girls just in East Germany during the first few months of the occupation. The majority of the rapes were the more violent gang rapes, usually witnessed by Germans to increase the dehumanizing humiliation. Soviet soldiers also engaged in gang rapes and because they wanted the husbands, sons, and fathers to witness their dastardly deeds to inflict additional pain and outrage. Those witnesses could not protect their female family members and friends. Impregnation was often a goal to bastardize the race, a deliberate and prevalent reminder of the horrendous experiences suffered during the occupation. Not only did they rape German women, but they also mutilated them and left them where they could remind other women of the savagery that awaited them. The Soviets supposedly preferred plumper, healthier-looking women rather than those who were thinner. However, the Soviet soldiers raped without regard for size, age, or cultural class, and gang rape, as I indicated, was rampant. When the Soviets liberated, in parentheses, Danzig, beginning on March 30th, 1945, they raped all, from small girls to an 83-year-old women. A Russian officer told the women of Danzig, who pleaded for protection from the invading brutes, to sequester themselves within the Catholic cathedral. Soon after, hundreds of women and girls felt safe within the church. Yet even within the church's sanctity, the Soviets savagely attacked them. The local Catholic pastor sadly stated, and I quote, "They even violated 8-year-old girls and shot boys who tried to shield their mothers," unquote. Rape was committed in every German city that the undisciplined Soviet military invaded. Soviet commanders told their soldiers after reaching Berlin in late April 1945 that the females of the cities of the city were theirs. Some women chose suicide as their only refuge from the raping hordes. Nuns, young girls, old women, and pregnant women were victims of rape. By the time the Soviets arrived in Berlin, they viewed the women as sexual spoils and not just substitutes for the hated German soldiers. Rapists view this act as a rite of passage following their often horrific experiences at the front line. Warfare, an environment of desensitized killing, brutality, and devoid of concerns about culpability, triggers uninhibited angry soldiers, free of all social restraints, who often vent their rage on the most vulnerable people and resort to base carnality. Mob mentality frequently instigates collective rape as a bonding experience. There were as many as 1.5 million cases of rape reported during the first 5 months of the Russian occupation of East Prussia beginning January 20th, 1945. The same situation existed in Silesia, Pomerania, and Vienna. In Berlin, the Soviets slaughtered tens of thousands of non-combatants. Soviet soldiers raped between 50,000 and 100,000 German women just in the city of Berlin. 10,000 of those rape victims died, many by their own hand. Sources indicate that Soviet soldiers, as I mentioned earlier, violated 2 million German women in the last months of World War II. The Soviets, with 500 planes, bombed the East Prussian city of Gumbinnen, on October 16, 1944. On October 20th, they entered what remained of the city and went on a 24-hour rape rampage. Soviets crucified women on the doors of their homes. After sexually defiling one woman, they slit her abdomen open and then hung her from a tree using her intestines. The Soviets frequently castrated elderly men. The slaughter that occurred in less than 24 hours defies description. Hungarian author Louis Marshalko writes of the Soviets defiling, mutilating, and killing German women, and then hanging them upside down from trees. Soviets used bayonets to rape girls. They impaled babies and slit the throats of pets. After the brutality, the Soviets set fire to everything. Often, mutilating, violence, and murder accompanied rape, along with looting and drunken destructiveness. This was not warfare, but savage brutality and massacre. The Soviet soldiers, not believing in individual liaisons with German women, gang raped their victims on a collective basis. Some Red soldiers, compulsive drinkers, caroused, looted, and raped with abandon, while this type of deplorable behavior disgusted the idealistic intelligentsia, perhaps leaders uninvolved in actual warfare. Vodka-intoxicated soldiers would rape any available female, set a house afire, and then drink themselves into unconsciousness. Okay, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder, available only at hempusa.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Deanna, and I don't have a guest this first hour. We do have a guest the last 2 hours, but anyway, I am sharing some things from my third book. And the most prevalent crime among females, gang rape, with as many as 10 to 12 Red Army soldiers venting their hostility against females of all ages. The Red Army moved through Germany in an anomalous combination of contemporary military equipment and transportation, from cavalrymen on horses to uniformed soldiers driving Lend-Lease Studebakers and Dodges, followed by tractors pulling howitzers. The Soviet soldiers, always hungry and often undisciplined, would have suffered immeasurably if not for the giant shipments of Spam and wheat that kept them engaged in their warfare. Herbert Hoover, allegedly an anti-communist and head of the American Relief Administration, exported huge quantities of life-saving food and clothing to the Soviet Union in the early 1930s. Like his Belgium Relief Commission, this food, along with Lend-Lease warfare implements, provided the essential components of warfare and allowed the Soviets to participate in World War II. The Soviets, both officers and soldiers, also raped Russian, Ukrainian, and Belarusian females of all ages. Many of the women recently released from enforced labor in Germany had been seized and enslaved and were finally liberated, only to be ravaged by their own people, or by the Soviets. This behavior discredits the longtime claim that Soviet rape was retaliation against Germany's viciousness in the Soviet Union. The unverified belief that Soviet females enslaved in Germany had prostituted themselves to the Germans might explain the Soviets' brutal behavior toward their own. German citizens, due to wartime privations and Allied confiscation policies, were suffering from slow, torturous starvation. The Soviets abruptly seized and hauled away the Germans' stores of food in trucks. The civilians had to rely on whatever food they had secretly stashed or what they could find. The scourge of rape, a fact of war and occupation, was rampant. The victorious Soviets used rape, not about sex, but power, to terrorize, dehumanize, and subjugate female citizens in occupied areas. Rape is an agonizing act of aggression that has nothing to do with sex. Men rape in such circumstances because they can, typically without experiencing judicial consequences. The Allies perpetrated an epidemic of rape against all German women and girls. Even the French, besmirched with their own offenses, complained about the excessive violence perpetrated by the American troops. Yes, folks, the American troops. Millions of enslaved German men had left wives, girlfriends, daughters, and sisters who became vulnerable to the Allies' objectives of bastardizing the Germans. No female was safe from rape, venereal disease, or potential pregnancy. The British used the colonial troops, the French Senegalese, and Moroccans, while the United States manipulated an excessively high percentage of blacks within their military forces. When the French colonial troops, under Dwight D. Eisenhower's command, entered the German city of Stuttgart, they herded German women into the subways and raped some 2,000 of them. The Americans were a bit more subtle in some respects than the Soviets. Rather than using physical force, the U.S. government compelled the German women to surrender their virtue for food to eat, beds to sleep in, soap to bathe with, and roofs to shelter them. Politically, sexual relations between a conqueror and the vanquished suggest dominance and submission. A GI, by paying for sexual service from French women, demonstrated the subservient position of France, compelling French men to acknowledge their decreasing power. Rape changed the GI from vigilant liberator to brutal invader. Officials charged many GIs for rape. The most frequently perpetrated war crime, with a disproportionately higher number of assaults committed by black soldiers, especially considering that only 10% of the troops were black. Rape, because of its racialization, became a Negro crime in France. Authorities executed more black soldiers than whites for rape. Certainly, according to victim testimonies, confessions, and medical evidence, blacks committed rape. All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and I'm talking about a chapter in my book, The Ruling Elite, Death, Destruction, and Domination. And I was talking about rape, and certainly according to victim testimonies, confessions, and medical evidence, blacks committed rape. However, in numerous cases, the evidence was nothing more than hearsay, based on racial prejudice. The U.S. military and Judge Advocate General, JAG, J-A-G, made hasty decisions, especially in the case of blacks, in an effort to sweep the entire situation under the rug. The JAG judges believed, according to long-held myths, that hypersexuality affected black men who not only raped but also engaged in orgies. JAG lawyers circulated a memo in November 1944 arguing that rape discloses an entirely unique savagery and wanton disregard of any limits whatever upon measures to accomplish satisfaction of sexual desire, unquote, as well as a, quote, fundamental deficiency in character and predominant animal instincts on the part of the criminal, unquote. In Le Havre, American troops received a booklet alerting them to the fact that the German soldiers had treated the French civilians with dignity and that Americans should do likewise. Some of the Americans were indifferent and claimed, and I quote, the enemy's atrocities were worse than ours, unquote. Of course, German soldiers committed their share of atrocities, but the old adage that two wrongs do not make a right was and is applicable even in warfare. Official propaganda makes enemies of ordinary people and incites the atrocities so common in any war. However, when the German soldiers committed such acts, they were immediately prosecuted by their superiors. That booklet was apparently ineffective. In 1945, GIs besieged the town of Le Havre, where they drank excessive amounts of alcohol, followed by daily acts of theft, rape, and physical assault. Women were terrified to be out on the streets. During the day, the GIs were publicly engaging in sex, where even children could witness their lewd behavior. French men vented their anger and frustration about the Americans taking advantage of vulnerable French girls. According to JAG statistics, GIs raped at least 500 German women during two rape waves in late summer of 1944 and in the spring of 1945. U.S. troops would also engage in rape in Korea, Vietnam, and elsewhere. People, in defining a man's character, judge how he treats the people who are at his mercy. Rape charges involving GIs increased from 18 in January 1945 to 31 in February to 402 in March and 501 in April. American officials executed some of the perpetrators, although this obviously did not decrease rape's occurrence. Many desperate German women traded sex for food and shelter. They reportedly found the Americans somewhat attractive. Military court records provide evidence of at least 14,000 rapes committed by U.S. soldiers against civilians in Britain, France, and Germany during the war years. Time magazine reported in September 1945 the following, and I quote, "Our own army and the British Army, along with ours, have done their share of looting and raping. We, too, are considered an army of rapists," unquote. During World War II, young American GIs, unaccustomed to such sexual norms as practiced in France, often viewed French women as easy, immoral, promiscuous, and without moral shame, all complicated by the language incompatibility. The advent of flashbulbs between 1927 and 1930 initiated the age of photojournalism, giving substance to the idea that a picture is worth a thousand words. When GIs liberated France in 1944, a photojournalist, many of whom accompanied the soldiers, staged a photo of many happy, grateful French women surrounding and hugging a smiling, macho American GI. Right behind that group, one may see the back of another GI, obviously kissing someone, presumably another liberated French woman. Another photo, according to author Mary Louise Roberts, was a hastily arranged collage of women's faces to simulate a crowd of women. The Stars and Stripes initially published this photo. Stars and Stripes, a newspaper that debuted on November 9, 1861, incited much of the problem which led to the proliferation of accusations and executions of black soldiers as the main culprits of the crime. The newspaper is an important and influential newspaper that reports on activities important to the U.S. Armed Forces. The Defense Department published the paper in Europe beginning in 1942 with an obviously biased editorial staff. The mission of the newspaper, strictly for propaganda purposes, is to provide, and I quote, "a symbol of the things we are fighting to preserve and spread in this threatened world. It represents the free thought and free expression of a free people," unquote. The on-site or embedded staff is composed of newspaper men in uniform and young soldiers. This liberation photo, almost as renowned as the photo of the Marines planting the American flag at Iwo Jima, soon appeared on the front cover of Life magazine, launched on November 23, 1936. And that is the photo of all the French women gathered around the two GIs. Eisenhower requested that the Stars and Stripes report about the war to engender confidence in his command and the way that he and his staff viewed events. In other words, propaganda. Much the same way as the Soviets with Ilya Ehrenberg put things forward. Given other chapters in this book, Eisenhower was adept at stage managing the media events for the maximum benefit. Therefore, the Stars and Stripes always made certain that their published photos looked legitimate and appropriate to the occasion, always characterizing the government's idealized interpretation of the war. Throughout Europe, GIs dutifully read the Stars and Stripes, definitely a vehicle of propaganda and a source of inspiration to the soldiers. Stars and Stripes published the first Liberator or Liberated images immediately after the invasion of Normandy, primarily of happy-looking women and children. The images symbolically characterized the U.S. military as male and France as female. They constantly sexualized the American invasion into France, which suggested that the victors could justify their sexual conquest. After all, 2 million French men of fighting age were absent, leaving little boys and old men to protect the home front. The men were engaged in resistance movements, in German labor or prison camps, or fighting elsewhere, leaving France a nation of vulnerable women, children, and elderly people. The symbolic predominance of women in the photos was highly effective in depicting France as an occupied, defenseless, feminine-like, submissive nation inhabited by helpless women who needed protection, the perfect setting for macho men to demonstrate their physical prowess. Stars and Stripes, creating a military culture, consistently used female Hollywood pinups to illustrate what America was fighting for, a determination to keep women smiling, satisfied, and happy. Stars and Stripes, with its photos, eroticized patriotism in heterosexual expressions and connected sexual exploitation with American war objectives before the United States invaded France to consummate a consensual union. General Charles Gerhard established a house of prostitution, the Corral, for his men near Rennes, France. General Omar Bradley disapproved and ordered him to close it. Gerhard said he wanted to protect the health of his men against VD and decrease or prevent the incident of rape, something the army was investigating in the Norman countryside. Gerhard, a womanizer, explained that he identified strongly with the sexual drives of his men. Unquote. He wrote to Bradley, arguing that his men were preoccupied with sex because they were under the influence of eroticized pinups and cartoons. In October 1944, the police in Cherbourg filed rape charges against dozens of GIs. The local authorities suggested that the American military establish a brothel for their soldiers. Despite the government's patriotic edicts about destroying the enemies, violence is contrary to man's nature. Whether he is German, Japanese, Russian, British, or American, one must ask, was the habitual use of mind-numbing liquor a consequence of the serial acts of violent killing? After the first gunshot, bayoneting, or rape, subsequent behavior perhaps is not as traumatic and soul-destroying, especially with alcohol or some psychotherapeutic drug that decreases instinctive feelings of empathy and compassion for the victim. Individuals thus engaged relinquish their inherent feelings they are past feeling, despite the government-bestowed titles, medals, or promotions. In December 1945, Senator Eastland of Mississippi returned from Europe and told his Senate colleagues, and I quote, "The virtue of womanhood and the value of human life are civilized man's most sacred possessions, yet they are the very cheapest thing in Russian-occupied Germany today, unquote. In a letter smuggled out of Breslau on September 3, 1945, and I quote, "In unending succession were girls, women, and nuns violated, not merely in secret, in hidden corners, but in the sight of everybody, even in churches, in the streets, and in public places where nuns, women, and even 8-year-old girls attacked again and again. Women were violated before the eyes of their children, girls in the presence of their brothers, nuns in the sight of pupils were outraged again and again to their very death and even as corpses," unquote. On April 9th, 1951, Life magazine revealed that Eisenhower used the U.S. military mission in Moscow to radio Stalin that he intended to stop his military campaign at the Elbe River in order to allow the Soviets to seize Berlin. So, you could thank Ike for what the Russians did in Berlin. John Wheeler Bennett of the Royal Institute of International Affairs and Eisenhower's political advisor drafted the message. U.S. Ambassador W. Averill Harriman received the memorandum and delivered it to Stalin. General Marshall, Chief of Staff, told President Truman that we were obligated to let the Russians take Berlin. On June 25, 2012, Russian President Vladimir Putin attended the unveiling of the Victory Monument in Netanya, Israel, an unprecedented joint state venture between Israel and Russia to honor the Red Army, including the 500,000-plus Jews who fought against Nazi Germany during World War II. Benjamin Netanyahu proposed the idea of the monument to President Putin in 2010 during his visit to Moscow. Putin promised to attend the inauguration. Karen Ha-Yashad, the United Israel Appeal, the UIA, the worldwide except the U.S. fundraising agency for Israel that operates in 45 countries, a registered Israeli corporation, and the World Forum of Russian Jewry led the efforts to raise funds for the project. The monument, and this is the monument to the Red Army, the monument commemorated the Red Army's victory and the millions of Red Army soldiers who perished in the war, including 120,000 Jews. By the 1930s, the Red Army was one of the largest armies in history. Alexander Levin, president of the World Forum of Russian Jewry and an American, represented the Russian-speaking Jews from North America at the ceremony. Levin said, and I quote, "Millions of Russian Jews around the world are united at this moment in solidarity for the brave Red Army soldiers," unquote. Further, he said, and I quote, "I am proud to be a part of those who support the building of this special monument, particularly as the sole representative of the United States and millions of Russian-speaking Jews who reside there." So, anyway, that is from that chapter, and I don't know. There's a lot of disagreement about Putin and about whether he is legitimate. And I'm not here to argue for or against, but I am rather concerned that he has criminalized Holocaust denial. I'm also concerned about the collaboration that he obviously was part of this monument, and This was just recently, in 2012. Anyway, let's take some phone calls for those people who would like to call in and talk, perhaps talk about what I've just shared with you. The telephone number, of course, is 800-313-9443. And let me give you just a who we're going to be having on in the next 2 hours is a gentleman that is the secretary of the organization that we talked about last week, the Truth and Justice for German Society. His name is Brian Rue. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back, and maybe we'll have some phone calls. Be right back.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and a caller wanted to know what book I was sharing information from, and that book is The Ruling Elite, Death, Destruction, and Domination. It is available at my website and also at Amazon, and it's a pretty long book. It's almost 800 pages, and I feel very uncomfortable promoting my own work, and I rarely talk about my own work. But I did give you the quote that Ilya Ehrenberg said, "Enjoy the war, the peace is going to be terrible." And He was really very prophetic in that. And the post-World War II in Europe was terrible. And the first chapter in that particular section was Women, Prize Plunder for the Allies. The second chapter is called The Holocaust Central to the New World Order. Third chapter is the Morgenthau Extermination Plan. Fourth one is Publicizing the German Camps. Then we have Eisenhower, Baruch's Man in Europe. Then General Patton, A Credible Witness. Then Raphael Lemkin and the Etymology of Genocide. Preparing for Nuremberg. Nuremberg, The Victor's Vengeance. Obedience, A Psychological Mechanism. Slave Laborers Working for the Allies. Then the London Cage and the Germans. Then Torturing the Germans for Revenge. Then One Man Fighting. Two Men Looting. Three Men Painting Rainbows. And then finally, the Allies Ethnic Cleansing in Europe. Yes, the Allies actually made the Germans slave laborers. And of course, you've heard me talk about the camps, and I'm talking about Eisenhower's camps. He had at least 200 camps in Germany, where at least 1.5 million Germans starved to death. There were no buildings. There were no barracks. There was no kitchen. They didn't have a hospital. They didn't have a library. They didn't have any of the many things that one would find at Auschwitz. They were camps. They recategorized people as, because you cannot torture, or you cannot withhold certain privileges, you cannot withhold food from a POW. And so they recategorized, the Germans. So that they could change the rules. And this was under Eisenhower's jurisdiction. In writing this book, I did shed a lot of tears, because it was just amazing the things that I learned during the writing of this book, during the research of the book, and just the beginning of World War II in Europe, which was really a continuation of World War I with a 30-year rest period. And that rest period, it allowed the Allies to rebuild their forces, and that is what they did. And of course, Britain and the United States began making bombs in 1936. Let me give you some more chapter titles. This is World War II in Europe, which is a heading for a section. Ukraine, Assault Against the Middle Class, Economic Assault Against Germany, 1933, Apprehending Dangerous Aliens, Kristallnacht, A False Flag, Dangling the Czechoslovakian Carrot, Winston Churchill, The Warmonger, Immigration, Not Extermination, Stage Managing Perceptions to Create Victimization, The Deceptions Behind the Most